ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री रुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शांति 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 ॐ आप्यायन्तु मांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो वी हैड टू द 8th मंत्र टुडे सो द प्रीवियस मंत्र द response to the student's request. The teacher's response to the student's request implied the establishment of the fact that one does not need anything more than knowledge. One does not need to do anything else apart from jnanam for moksha. So knowledge need not be followed by any other practice of disciplines or any karma or anything else. Knowledge by itself independently blesses one with moksha, because knowledge itself is moksha. This is what is the thing we understood. That is, what is required for moksha is not any performance of karma or not any practice of discipline. So the practice of disciplines or performance of karma, etc., are required before jnanam as a prerequisite means, but not after jnanam. Not after jnanam. Which means this is the so the knowledge when can you say there is knowledge? If there is an understanding, I the self am Brahman. What is the knowledge I need for moksha? the two things have to be understood. One is I the self am Brahman, and everything else other than me is mithya, an inferior order of reality. I myself am ever free. I was free, I am free, I'll ever be free. And this, okay, this is first the fact number one. What is that I need to understand? Understand the fact that I am Brahma Asmi. I myself, I Atma am Brahman. Everything else other than I, the Atma, is Mithya, the inferior order of reality. I, the Self, Atma, I, the Atma, am ever free. This is the first fact. Understanding of the first fact. And second understanding fact is that I do not require anything more than this knowledge. for moksha. I do not require anything other than this understanding. This is the second thing, factor. Nothing else you need. Okay. So here, let us go to the next mantra now. Tasyai Tapo Dhamaha Karma Iti Pratishta Vedaha Sarvangani Satyamayatanam. So here, Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada gives two meanings for this mantra. It means he gives two interpretations of this mantra. Let us see each interpretation first. If we see the words tasyai, literal meaning of the word tasyai means tasyaha. Tasyaha means tasyaha brahma vidyayaha. For that brahma vidya to rise in one's mind, for the rising or the emergence of that brahma vidya in one's mind, which brahma vidya, for the emergence of which brahma vidya, that aham brahma asmi, and aham brahma asmi, and aham nitya muktaha, I am ever free, and anything else other than me is only, other than I the atma, is only inferior order of reality, the mithya. And I do not require anything more than this knowledge for moksha, for this understanding to rise, for one to claim without any doubt aham brahma asmi. Shankara is going to say, teach us here, no? For the complete resolution of any pratibandha obstacle, for that, what one needs is, he says, no, the preparation. So, pratibandha nivritti, he means, for the removal of obstacles, and also for the preparation required for the mind, preparation of the mind required for jnanam, for that, what he says, tasyai, na tasyai for brahma vidyayaha. He says, he prescribes all of them, tapaha, damaha, karma, iti, pratishtha, vedaha, sarvangani. She says, tapaha, damaha, karma, vedaha, sarva angani. All the five. So, pratishta, in the first interpretation, as per Shankara's first interpretation, the word pratishta stands for all the supportive, sadhanam, or the contributory means. Contributory or supportive means or causes. The word pratishta stands for supportive or contributory means. So knowledge is the direct means, and the supportive contributory means are what? These. He says, so the word pratishta means supportive sadhanani. Sakshat sadhanam, no? Or I can say parampara sadhanam, like that, no? So supportive means, or contributory means. What are they? That's what the meaning of the word pratishta. So what are all the pratishtaha here? Tapaha, damaha, karma, sarva vedaha, sarva angani, five. Five supportive causes or contributory causes for Brahma Vidya. Okay, so now we can say, so tapaha. So tapaha, and then we say tapaha, damaha, karma, iti patishta, vedaha, sarvangani, satyam ayatanam. Satyam, the truthfulness, ayatanam. Truthfulness in speech is the ayatanam. Ayatanam is an abode of this. This is the truthfulness in speech is the discipline is the abode wherein the knowledge is preserved. No, the knowledge is preserved where knowledge remains preserved in the discipline of truthfulness, which means. For enjoying the benefit of the preserved knowledge, one has to follow the discipline. That's what he means. Satyam ayatanam. This is the first meaning. Okay, now you heard, got all the words. The second interpretation. Let us see the first meaning itself, and then we can go to this. So tapaha. Means, what is tapaha? So, for the Brahma Vidya to rise, tapaha. No, tapaha is a life of disciplines. Tapas means living a life of disciplines. It's also tapas, with a commitment. Living a life of disciplines with a commitment is tapas, tapaha. We'll see the expression later on. Then, damaha. Damaha means what now? Sensory disciplines. Sensory restraint. Maintaining the disciplined senses. Following the sensory disciplines. Then the word karma. Third. So the karma there stand for now, living a life of karma yoga. You know what is karma yoga, so I don't need to. Or you can say living a life of pancha maha yajnaha. Or following pancha maha yajnas is implied by the term karma there. Then you can, next is vedaha. I already given the meaning of the word pratishta, isn't it? All the five now. Tapaha, damaha, karma, vedaha, vedangani. All these five are said to be supportive sadhanani. Supportive causes. Now, vedaha means veda adhyayanam. When you say the word vedaha implies study of the Vedas. In the sense, the veda adhyayanam, Vedic chanting. Then angani, sarva angani stands, mean all six auxiliary sciences. Auxiliary sciences mean siksha, kalpaha, niruktam, chandas, vyakaranam. Remember that? All the six. Now what is the one word left here? Satyam ayatanam. Satyam, we say, it is where the knowledge is held, preserved, where knowledge remains held or preserved is, you know, it's called ayatanam, an abode. Ayatanam means an abode. An abode where knowledge is held or preserved. It's called satyam, the truthfulness. Now we want the literal meaning of the words. It's one meaning of the first interpretation of Shankara. The meaning is the same, but the different way of looking at it. The next meaning, if you see, the next interpretation of that is, he says the word pratishta stands for, you know, the word pratishta means, he says, the second interpretation, he sees the whole Brahma Vidya as a cow. Brahma Vidya is likened to a cow. The knowledge of the reality as one's own sarupam, which arises in the mind, is likened to, is called Brahma Vidya. The alone is the actual meaning of the word Upanishad. Now the word Upanishad means what? Brahma Vidya. The two meanings. Now one is the actual meaning, one is another meaning, isn't it? Literally, Upanishad means any text is Upanishad. But actual meaning of the Upanishad is the knowledge of the reality which rises in the mind as the nearest self. So, isn't it? Recognition of the reality as the nearest self is what? Brahma Vidya. That is the Brahma knowledge of Brahman, which is the actual meaning of the word Upanishad. Upanishad. Isn't it? So Upanishad is equal to Brahma Vidya. So he says, and that Brahma Vidya is likened to a cow. And all these four, so the word Pratishtha means, Pratishtha actually in the second meaning, the word Pratishtha stands for four legs. Pratishtha means legs. So, no, what are the four legs here? For that Brahma Vidya, Brahma Vidya is a cow means, four legs of the cow, of Brahma Vidya cow, is what now? He says, tapaha, damaha, karma, and one more thing, there's a iti, no? Iti, karma iti comes. Iti stands for shamaha. You can say tapaha, damaha, karma, and shamaha. See the mantra now? Tapaha is one leg of Upanishad cow. Now the cow means the knowledge. And Damaha, another leg. Karma, another leg. And Yiti, the word Yiti should be taken as Shamaha. Four legs of Upanishad cows. I mean, Upanishad is not the textbook here. It is the very knowledge cows. And here, other limbs of the cow. The cow has other limbs, no? Like the face, and then the ears, and the horns, the tail, etc. So all those other limbs of the cow of Brahma Vidya, you know, they stand for what? No, he says, other limbs, they stand for the Sarva Angani. So Sarva Angani means not sixfold, that sixfold auxiliary sciences here. Other limbs of the cow. Sarva Angani. Sarva Angani means other limbs of the cow. Brahma Vidya cow. Second interpretation I am telling. Okay, so here, the Veda, okay, that's the, all those things comes. Then Ayatanam. So Ayatanam means an abode. So Satyam, the truthfulness is, for Satyam, the truthfulness is the cow shed. Ayatana means cow shed. Satyam is the cow, Ayatanam, the cow shed. For that, Brahma Vidya cow. This is one meaning, okay, two meanings. Here he interprets two ways of interpretation of Shankara himself. Okay. Now, let us see the here. With this understanding, if we read, it will become very, very clear. So, when that knowledge takes place, no, we'll see here. Tasyai, no? Tasyai, Shankara, the meaning, tasyaha. Tasya, so tasya, the fourth case, must be taken in the sense of sixth case. Meaning for that Brahma Vidya. Tasya is equal to tasyaha. Tasyaha is equal to Brahma Vidyayaha. Brahma Vidyayaha is equal to for the emergence of that knowledge of the reality Brahman as one's own swarupam. No? For that knowledge. Uktayaha. So yes, Upanishadaha. Upanishadaha means what now? Brahma Vidyayaha. Okay. for the rising of Upanishad means what? For the rising of Upanishad means for the rising of knowledge. And which knowledge here? What knowledge should rise in the mind here? Aham Brahma Asmi. When that knowledge rises, what should be the, how, what should be the here? The knowledge, he says, actually, Sadhakatva Bhava Nivrittihi. It's called Sadhakatva Bhava Nivrittihi means what? The removal of the very attitude, very understanding that I am a sadhaka. In that jnanam, when the knowledge rises, what should be that understanding? How should be that understanding? I am the seeker. I waited for Brahma Vidya to rise. And I am waiting for Brahma Vidya to rise, isn't it? Aham sadhakaha. I am a seeker of moksha. I am waiting for moksha to, happen. Which is, so moksha is not an event which I am waiting for to happen. Isn't it? So, which means I am Brahman. Which means 100% there is confidence that one can claim Aham Brahma Asmi. What, now here, when Swamiji was teaching, I remember what he says. We go and sit and listen in the class. We seem to be understanding everything. And we do. When the understanding happens, everything sounds very, very clear. And then once after some time, again, there is no confidence. There's no strength. There's no confidence to claim. Yeah, that's true. I am that. That we're not able to claim. That not being able to claim the fact which I understood in the class, which means becomes what now? It's called pratibandha, an emotional obstacle. What's an emotional obstacle here? Not being able to claim the fact that one has understood in the class, which is called an emotional obstacle, a pratibandha. That is because of some sort of part of the karma, isn't it? Some obstacle. So that also should get eliminated. That confidence also should be gained. Confidence must be there. So the knowledge, it is not simply saying Aham Brahmasmi. It is not simply saying. It is a claiming the fact about one's own sarupam, being Brahman. That should arise. That's called tasyaha, Brahma vidyayaha, upanishadaha. Okay, for that doubt-free, ascertained, assimilated, claiming the vision, to claim the vision with total confidence, without any pratibandha. This is what he means by knowledge here. Because why people say, I've been listening for a long time, and we understood very well, everything is very clear, but still we haven't experienced that moksha. We can't say we are free. We understood the teaching of the self being free, but still we don't feel free. Which means I expect something to happen, some experience to happen, some event, moksha to be an event. Something should happen, isn't it? What nothing can happen. Upanishad wants to say nothing will happen. Nothing needs to happen. Anything to happen means that happening is only in the form of the doubt-free vision which you claim. That wherein you claim your swarupam, claiming one's own swarupam, needs a doubt-free vision. claiming your swarupam, claiming your real nature, and which is based on your doubt-free understanding, isn't it? 100% confidence in what I have understood. That is why, that is the meaning of the word ascertainment. When you say ascertained mean, what do you mean by ascertainment? I heard, understood, retained, I dwelt upon repeatedly. I have ascertained means what? My vision of the self being pure consciousness, which is the limitless reality Brahman. Now, that vision, I claim that vision of the Swarupam is so doubtless that I claim my nature being free already, Brahman already. Is that confidence? So that knowledge with confidence, isn't it? Ascertained vision with confidence that one can claim one's swarupam being Brahman. This God is called here Upanishadaha. Is it clear? For that, Fahachan knowledge, for vision, Prapti Upayani, Prapti Upaya Bhutani. So Upaya means supportive causes. For such, no, for confidence. So the confidenceful, isn't it? For the confident claiming of one's own swarupam being Brahman, for that, he says, uprapti, for the attainment of confident claiming of oneself being Brahman, upaya bhutani, these supportive causes are this tapa adini, tapaha, etc. Supportive causes for what? Supportive means for that, now the claiming that the confident vision. Now he explains, no, tapaha. Look at what is the meaning of the word tapaha. Look at this. Kaya, indriya, manasam. Samadhanam. Kaya indriya manasam samadhanam. See, this tapaha literally means penance. Literally means austerity. So austerity or penance means, you know, willfully going through certain discomforts. Willfully going through certain discomforts in order to make oneself stronger. Stronger, no? To become strong-willed, to become a stronger person, stronger personality, no, one willfully practices that certain discomforts, going through, no, one goes through certain discomforts, like let me walk every day, go around the Beckenham in when the sun comes, the hot sun, let me walk like Indian hot, okay, let me walk 3 hours every day. Three hours I'll be walking on the road and the non-stop, okay, without stopping anywhere for a coffee or tea. I'll keep on walking, you know. And let me, even if I feel very hungry, even if some good food is in front of me, I will not eat for this day, whole day. It's a discomfort, isn't it? You feel so hungry and the food you like the best is in front of you and you're not... Okay, today I'm fasting, I'm not eating. I mean, it's a discomfort, isn't it? And walking, or at least starving, is causing the discomfort to oneself, isn't it? You can't willfully going through certain discomforts in order to make oneself a tougher person is called what? Tapaha. It's a literal meaning of the word. Another context. If people go to the forest, and then in those days, no? We used to hear, study in Puranas, now people go to forests. The tapas, leaving everybody around, leaving everything around, going away to forest. And you get good food here, don't get any good food there, don't water there. You have to struggle, you have to sleep on the floor, no comfortable bed, no roof on your roof above, no walls around. And you walk some, lie down somewhere under some bushes and then tree, and there will be snakes and there will be things. And you walk on one leg for half a day and close your eyes and like this. It's all sort of tapas means in Puranas depict the word tapas. Penance. It's called a penance. Who asked you to go like that? Nobody. You decide. Let me go and let me do this tapas. Let me become a strong-willed person. Let me become a very tough person. So that I'll be qualified for, prepare myself for this, the commitment required for this knowledge. People do practice such things. Because they know, when you know the value of knowledge, when you understand that you need really a strong will and the sharp intellect, and you allow yourself, you yourself decide, nobody decides for you. You decide that certain, let me force myself to go through this tough practices and certain discomforts myself. Why should I go and suffer like that? Why can't I enjoy my good comfortable bed and things, isn't it? But still you decide, you go. Even I heard that some medical student was saying here, all students are asked to go for some trekking energy. For then the camping, and then they had to climb somewhere. They had to go with this much amount of food and with their bags. Nandini was saying the two girls went. They say we have 17-year-old girls went because they're medical students. They want to get medical seats, and it is some sort of they get some certificate. It seems in this country. These girls went last week in the cold weather. They had to take this only 10 kilos or something they should have. Everything they should have only on their back. And they should walk. And then there's a point where they had to go and report to them that they have walked that way, that much, that far. And they had to rest somewhere. They had to cook what within that time. And that. In this country they have. Amazing. I was really sharp. I wanted to go with the girls. I said, no, you won't be allowed, because to go like that, you had to need a lot of practice, you had to walk a lot, climb a lot, and in between, they had to sleep somewhere with the walk, whatever they had to carry. Everything that they carry must be very little. The food they had to carry, nowhere they get any food on the way. And they had to somehow manage to eat that food, what they carry, cooking or uncooked or cooked somehow. And they had to also carry their sleeping bags and all that. Something. And they get some certificate from the government for that. And it is going to add to their already existing resume, whatever the certificate they require for medical lab. It becomes extra. Of course, they get to go score good marks. Good grades is important. But it all adds. So those girls, when they came, it is real tapas. Penance, isn't it? Go, really suffering, struggling. This is called tapas. But here, it is not the meaning. That's what I want to say. Literal meaning of tapas should be taken here. Here, in Vedantic context, in the context of the Upanishadic study, when the word tapas is used, what is the meaning? Samadhanam. Samadhanam means focus. The word samadhana means focus. The focus implies focusing on everything. Being focus here means all the body, senses, mind, all of them must be integrated. So again, The integration of body, mind, sense complex means, what does it mean? In yoga also we talk about integration, isn't it? In jnana also we talk about integration. In yoga we talk about integration. Thought, word and deed must be in alignment. Means, you know, there must be identical means. What I speak, what I do, what I think must be in identical means. All my physical, oral activities must be governed by my knowledge of right and wrong. They should not be, you know, governed by my likes and dislikes. That is what we mean by the word their integration, isn't it? My actions should not transgress values. Then it means my thought, word and deed are in alignment. That is integration in yoga. And here, alignment of body, mind, sense complex here, you know, the samadhanam means they all should be converged. There must be convergence or togetherness of the body, mind, sense complex means what I do physically, sensorily what I do, orally what I do, mentally what I think, all of them must be contributive for my pursuit of knowledge. Okay? Which means it must make my study conducive. It must be contributive for my study and the pursuit of knowledge. Which means, suppose what I do physically, what I do sensorily, what I speak orally, what I think mentally, all of them must be only in terms of the pursuit of knowledge. Which means I go to the class physically, and whenever I have book study time also I read or I listen, I think only of that, isn't it? And then whatever I hear, whatever I smell, everything I see must be supportive, bring my mind only to this Shastra Vishaya, subject matter of the Shastra. Is called as tapasya, samadhanam. Big difference, isn't it? Samadhanam means my physical activities do not really take my mind away from Shastra. My sensory, sensorily also, what I'm involved in, I must be conducive, contributive for my pursuit of knowledge. Of course, my mind must always be in Shastra. Study, isn't it? It's called here, Kaya Indriya Manasam Samadhanam. It's called tapas. Commitment with conviction. Which means, nothing can take my mind away from Shastra. My physical requirements, biological requirements, should not be disturbance for my interest in Shastra. I know the value of knowledge. I'm very much interested in Shastra. Now, I want Jnanam. I want to study Shastram. I want to spend. But sometimes my biological needs drag my mind. Very natural, isn't it? So I don't let my, which means naturally my body also is supportive of my wish. Which means that is called conviction. It's called commitment. My commitment is such, the body is just the slave of my buddhi. Doesn't become, buddhi does not become slave of the body here. Body becomes slave of the buddhi. What means body becomes slave means what? Now, body cannot do anything on its own, just it is there. What the body is used for fulfilling, isn't it? The wish. Similarly, also sense organs. What I perceive, what I think, they cannot drag my attention from pursuit of knowledge. This is called being focused. So all my, the body, the integration of the body, mind and sense complex. Now, with the total commitment and conviction, all that I do, they being supportive of, they're all supportive of my pursuit of knowledge. This is called being focused. This kaya, indriya, manasa, samadhanam is tapas in this context. You see, different, it's not physically, mechanically going through suffering. It is not that, you know, we'll be fasting and that and all these things. So everything I do must be for, it must be, you know, it will contribute for my studious, isn't it, personality. Make me totally studious. That's what I mean. Then Dhammaha. Dhammaha again, Upashamaha. What is Dhammaha, Upashamaha here? Upashamaha again. Here, quietening all the 10 powers. Quietening all the 10 powers means what? Quietening all the 10 powers means that they do not drag me. Again, there's a slight difference here. See, when you come to the class, you may be interested in study, may be interested in Shastram, you may know the value of the knowledge, but very, very distracted and disturbed. When you're listening, and then after some time, mind goes somewhere. It is very natural. It is not wrong to be distracted and disturbed, but somehow we have to become more focused, isn't it? And that's called Upashamaha. Upashamaha means, which means, it is the withdrawal of everything, all the senses. In anything which is not contributive for knowledge, withdrawal of all the 10 powers, you know, from things which do not contribute for the pursuit of knowledge. Jnanathirukku thadayaga irukkira ella vishayangalum nammala eerthirana veliya. That's called withdrawal. Where do I withdraw you from? I withdraw myself from anything which I perceive, anything which I do, you know, which distract me from my pursuit of knowledge. That's called dhammaha here. Beautiful, isn't it? So withdrawal of sense organs of actions and sense organs from things which distract me from, divert me from, no, my pursuit of knowledge. Which also is what now? It's very, you need that, isn't it? Which means you are withdrawn person. You are not available in the pub. You are not available in the club. You are not available in unnecessary conversations. You are not available there in socializing. You go, you show your head, you express the concern for the people. You are not, you know, hanging around, wasting your time, chit-chatting. Which means anything which is not useful for your pursuit of knowledge. The time is so precious that, you know, that you do not waste your time, anything which is not required anymore for your, because you know your priorities now is very clear. You are not available there. Which means, that means you need a stronger will for you to just move and go away, isn't it? This is called withdrawal of sense organs and organs of actions from anything and everything which distracts me from my pursuit of knowledge. It is called quietening of the 10 organs. You know? We call the word of Dhammaha, Upashamaha. So almost it's only then the tapas is possible, isn't it? That tapas. Okay, next he says, karma. So Shankara says karma means Agnihotradi. See, Adi means etc. So Agnihotram is a form of worship which has to be choicelessly, unavoidably performed every day in a Vaidika's house. So now, people in India do not know what is Agnihotram. And where's the question of performing Agnihotram? Agni means what? Hotra means what? Agnihotra means what? And it is a Nitya Karma. It has to be performed. It's a form of worship. That is how we express our gratitude to Bhagavan of Devatas. People don't know. And in order to do the Agnihotram, what all disciplines I need to follow? How one has to be disciplined? Nothing. People do not know. An idea of what Agnihotram is nowadays. And where is the question of performing Agnihotram? So here in Shankara's time he talks it again. So performance of fire rituals, the worship etc. in term like Agnihotram etc. he says. So the Adi Shabda we can take. And what he implies by the word Adi Shabda is living a life of Karma Yoga. Or you can say following Panchamaha Yajnas. Isn't it? Every day, we know what is Panchamaha Yajnas are. So karma here stands for, not forgetting to be worshipful to Bhagavan in the form of Devatas, Deva Yajnaha, then Manusha Yajnaha, doing the needful for fellow human beings, Manusha Yajnaha, then Bhuta Yajnaha, at least not hurting other living beings. Even if I do not, doing the needful, at least not hurting any other living beings. Living a life consciously without hurting any other living beings. So, Bhuta Yajnaha. Then, Brahma Yajnaha, making it a point to study the Upanishads. Here, in this context, there is a Vedanta context. Definitely make it a point to be given to the systematic Shravanam. Is a Brahma Yajna. If you are studying a Shastram, systematically means Vedanta Shastram systematically, which is a Brahma Yajna or Rishi Yajna, isn't it? Then Pitru Yajna, of course, doing your ancestral worship. So, all these together, Panchamaha Yajnas, following these Yajnas, or you can say living a life of Dharma with Purushartha Nischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, the proper attitude of offering everything to Ishvara. And looking at everything which comes in life as prasada, living this karma life of karma yoga is what? Implied by the word here, karma. It's very important. Then, so, kaya indriya manasam samadhanam tapaha upashamaha damaha karma agnihotradi. Now, we say karma yoga we have seen. Now, what do these do? Tapaha damaha karma. So living a life of karma yoga and withdrawal of all the powers from anything which distracts me from pursuit of knowledge and being focused, which means having my whole being, my commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. I'm a conviction in my attainment, the knowledge being the knowledge itself being moksha. My conviction in and the understanding of the fact that knowledge itself is moksha, and thereby my commitment to the pursuit of that knowledge, makes my whole life behavior, whatever I do physically, whatever I do sensorily, whatever I do think mentally, all do all thing mentally, all that is only focused on what my for pursuit of my knowledge. This is called tapas, isn't it? So this with this. So he says, next one now, yetaihi. So yetaihi means, yetaihi tapas tapaha damaha karma adibihi. Okay? By following, yetaihi means by these disciplines. By these disciplines, means by following these disciplines strictly. What those disciplines? Tapaha, Dhamaha, Karma. Okay, this by following all these disciplines, what happens? Samskritasya Sattva Shuddhi Dwara Tattva Jnana Utpattihi Drishta. So, see what has been taught earlier in the very first two chapters. No? That, like, from the beginning, if you see, first two chapters, the whole thing is Atma being identical with Paramatma has been made very clear. But still, after the second chapter also, you know, one that the Shravanam itself should contribute for the rising of knowledge. Even after Shravanam also, still, what is Mananam again? Continuation of Shravanam for some more time, for longer duration. Shravanam itself is enough for a highly, highly, highly adequately prepared minded person. How long should they do Shravanam is not be the question at all. Isn't it? As long, until and unless this knowledge rises in your mind, Shravanam is required. This knowledge rises means what knowledge? This knowledge rises, that risen knowledge is not simply a knowledge for me, it's a beneficiary, isn't it? It's a fruitful knowledge for me. Fruitful means what now? Fruitful means where I can claim my swarupam being already free. So the knowledge becomes fruitful knowledge only if I am able to claim my swarupam being free, my freedom. I know, I understood, but still I am not free. But to claim my freedom means, until and unless I am able to claim my swarupam being Paramatma, my swarupam being free already with total confidence. Isn't it? Total confidence. That is jnanam, and for that jnanam, it's called only, first shravanam itself is enough. But shravanam also, the continuation or the continuity of shravanam in terms of mananam, which means the longer duration of shravanam again, is for reflecting on what has been heard once, which is no, which means again, which wherein I resolve all my doubts. That mananam is not required for a highly prepared student. Okay, mananam. Even after mananam, also one needs to what now? Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means what actually here? Even the clear, doubt-free knowledge is there, which needs to be ascertained, which needs to be confident, with all confidence, it has to be claimed also. Claiming the vision with the confidence. Claiming the vision with the confidence that I aham brahmasmi. I am free. I am free. No? That vision. That is called what now? Jnana Utpattihi. Jnana Utpattihi means, for that vision, what do we need is, you know, Sattva Shuddhihi. Sattva Shuddhihi, the preparedness, mental purity and mental steadiness. That called Sattva Shuddhihi here. Sattva Shuddhi Dwara Jnana Utpattihi. So, along with the study of the Shastram Shravanam, one has to be following these disciplines also. You can't wait for the disciplines to be, you know, followed for some time, then study. the study must be there simultaneously along with the study of the, along with the Shravanam, along with the listening to subject matter of the Shastram, pursuit of or in terms of Shastram. These disciplines also have to be practiced. Isn't it? Only then what happens now? Sattva Shuddhi. One Sattva Shuddhi Dwara Tattva Jnana Utpattihi. Tattva Jnana Utpattihi means rising of, emergence of the knowledge of the truth as the nearest self. Tattva Jnana Utpattihi, emergence of the clear, doubt-free vision of the truth as the nearest self, as one's own self, as the very truth of I, that, and not simply rising here. Rising implies what now? There is the claiming of one's nature, being free already, with confidence, without any doubts. That is possible only through Sattva Shuddhi, which means the mind is completely ready for such knowledge. So it is possible even without Nididhyasana, without Mananam also, if you are ready in Shravanam, by Shravanam itself it should happen. Otherwise, definitely after Mananam. Otherwise, definitely after Nididhyasana this knowledge should take place. Which means only, but no, that's what he says, na? For which you need Sattva Shuddhi. And for such Sattva Shuddhi, for that pure mind, who is the one who has that pure mind, who's the one who has that mind, that appropriate mind where that, where that knowledge rises in terms of what now, where one can claim one Swarupam with all confidence that I am Brahmasmi. It is not a mere utterance, isn't it? It is the fact for the person. No, he says, Samskritasya. So, Samskritaha means a totally refined personality. Samskritaha, Samskritaha means what now? Completely refined personality is what now? The man of refined personality, the refined one, the refined minded, is the pure minded. The pure minded is the one, the pure mind person alone has this vision. He alone claims that vision with the confidence. Is it clear? Which means, and here, Yetaihihi Samskritasya Sattva Shuddhi Dwara Tattva Jnana Utpattihi. Only by following these disciplines, Yetaihi, by following these disciplines, when a person becomes refined, refined personality, and thereby through that mental purity, the mental refinement, this now the rising of the knowledge of the truth happens. It's good, isn't it, to say, understand this. That's what he says. So now he's again further explains. Drishta hi amrudita kalmashasya ukte api brahmani apratipattihi viparita pratipattihi yatha indra virochana prabhrutinam. He continues again. So he explains further. See, it has been seen, he gives an example, Shankara gives an example. Where has it been seen? In Chandogya Upanishad. We have not seen, but Shankara has seen, and the one who was listening must have seen. Yeah, in Chandogya Upanishad. You know, the Chandogya Upanishad, there is there's a dialogue between Narada and Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara. And then there's a 7th, 8th chapters of Chandogya Upanishad. There, the teaching happens. But what happened? Who are the students here? There is a lot of devas and a lot of asuras. Both these leaders were there. Leaders of devas, leaders of asuras. Demons and, you know, the celestials. Both the Lord teaches, both the leaders are there. So why? Because if the leaders learn, they can go back and teach their groups. So it's easy, isn't it? So both the leaders were brought and then they were taught Brahma Vidya. But what happened? Both of them were not ready for this Jnana. Leaders themselves were not ready. So what happened? He wants to say here, Amrudita Kalmashasya. See, Mrudita Kalmashaha. Amrudita Kalmashaha. We have heard. Kalmasham means blemishes, impurities. Mrudita Kalmashaha means the one who is free from impurities. One whose mind is free from impurities. Mind being free from impurities means the mind, the whose mind is no more disturbed by, the emotions such as anger, fear, greed, desires, etc. So, understand, it's called Mridita Kalmashaha, the one who is free from impurities. Mind is free from impurities, who is not disturbed by the impurities such as, emotions, fear, anger, etc. But Amrudita Kalmashaha means the one who has not yet become free. One who is still not qualified for knowledge. So, Anadhikari. Mrudita Kalmashaha is Adhikari. Amrudita Kalmashaha is Anadhikari, the unqualified. Who has yet to become qualified is Amrudita Kalmashaha. Who is already qualified is Mrudita Kalmashaha. Isn't it? So here he is talking about the Amrudita Kalmashaha. The one who is not yet ready for Jnanam. Because one who is not yet purified of these impurities. One who is still disturbed by impurities. Isn't it? Such a person. Ukte api brahmani. Even though Brahma Vidya is taught, Ukte api brahmani, even though the absolute reality is communicated to this student, it's not that Brahma Vidya is not taught, isn't it? For a person who is not taught Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of Brahman is not possible. Because teaching is very important. Communication is very important. So somehow the systematic teaching one must be exposed to. So the person who is not exposed to systematic teaching, it is natural for him, for this knowledge not to, isn't it? It is natural for him not to have this knowledge. But the person who is taught Brahma Vidya, who is communicated, who is exposed to his teaching, and who is very well systematically taught also, is in spite of being taught also, Brahma, Ukte Brahmani, Paramparu Sollapatta Podum, even though Brahman is communicated, the nature of reality, Brahman is communicated, taught properly, systematically, to the person who is not Adhikari, who is Amrudita Kalmashaha, then what happens? Apratipattihi or viparita pratipattihi happens. Apratipattihi means non-comprehension, non-understanding, or viparita pratipattihi means misunderstanding or wrong understanding. At least non-comprehension is better, non-understanding is better than wrong understanding. Isn't it? So he gives that when what is communicated, the student does not understand at all what is being said in the class, or the student can, everything the teacher says something, the student can have his or her own interpretation or miss or wrong understanding of the teaching. Such wrong understanding also is useless, can create another, the wrong understanding can lead to, again, different problems, more problems. Non-understanding will not, again, solve the problem, which means they both become useless. Isn't it? Non-understanding also, what now? Such communication becomes a non-effective, useless communication. Therefore, it is very important what of if, which means if there should not be apratipattihi, if there should not be viparita pratipattihi, the student must be mridita kalmashaha, not amridita kalmashaha. Isn't it? And he gives example, yatha indra virochana prabhritinam. So, Indraha and Virochanaha. Who are these two? Indraha is Devendra, Lord of Devas. Virochana is Lord of Asuras. Lord of Devas, Lord of Asuras. So, what happened? These two represent these two. Indra did not understand anything what was taught when he was listening. He was listening. He did not understand anything. So, he went with a vague head. So, because he did not understand anything at all, he saved Devas. Why? He could not go and teach anything wrongly. So, he came back to the teacher again, first time. He was not, so the teacher said, "Look, I taught you everything. You have not understood anything at all, which means go back and again do your, you do the karma for 32 years. Send him back. He went. Again, he had worked for 32 years. He came back. Again, the guru taught. Still, knowledge did not take place. And he said, "Now you go back and again do." So he came back a third time. He could not understand. He went back. Okay? Fourth time when he came back. Who? Indra. See, three times he heard the Shastra. Three times he did Shravanam. He could not go to Mananam. Why? Because he didn't understand at all anything. Why he didn't understand anything at all? Because he was not mridita kalmashaha. He was amridita kalmashaha. Anadhikari. He was not qualified for jnana. He was interested in jnanam. He did not have no shamaha, no damaha, no tapaha. Isn't it? Still distracted and disturbed means a lot of pratibandhas. Purva karma, no? The pratibandha means sometimes you try to live a clean life also. In spite of living a clean, righteous, ethical life, in spite of following all the disciplines strictly, in spite of doing all these things also, your shravanam is not effective, isn't it? Still knowledge does not rise. What now? That you are not able to claim that vision you have with the confidence. You understood the teaching, but you're not able to claim that. The aham brahmasmi, that doubt does not resolve. Or even not the doubt also. Something stops. There's also what now? Pratibandha, obstacle, isn't it? You know, that also has to go. Means you have to do some more tapas. Some more tapas means what? You have to become more focused. You have to get rid of your impurities. cleansed. So he says, so here Indra went 3 times. And 4th time he came back. Again the teacher communicated. Again the teacher taught him Brahma Vidya. The 4th time he need not wait for mananam or nididhyasanam. After the Shravanam itself, Indra had the knowledge. Shravanam itself, as he was listening, he got the vision. What vision? Jnana utpattihi he had. The knowledge emerged in his mind, which means there's no doubt for him. He could see as the teacher was teaching him a 4th time, he could claim his Swarupam being already free. Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Nitya Shuddha Buddha Atma, Aham Muktaha. I'm already free. No, when was I bound for me? There is no I which was bound at all before. There's no need for him to attain any. He claims the freedom which is already there. He could claim that, which means he does not see him anymore as this sadhaka. Who is the sadhaka here? Am I the sadhaka? It's called sadhakatva bhava nivrittihi. He claimed his vision being Paramatma with all confidence. In which vision he doesn't see this? No, the self is not the seeker. The moksha is not something which is sought as an event to happen. I am the seeker means what? Your still identity is with the body, mind, sense complex. If you are Chaitanyam Brahma means, are you a seeker? No. It's called sadhakatva bhava nivrittihi. I am the seeker. This is the vision wherein I am the seeker notion is resolved for good. I am the seeker notion is not there anymore. I am the seeker notion is not there. Therefore, the moksha is not an event which has to happen, which is something sought also. Moksha is not some sought end anymore, because there is no notion I am the seeker. And moksha is the very nature, swarupam. For a wise person, the notion I am the seeker is resolved. Therefore, moksha is not an end which is sought. Moksha is very nature. Beginningless, endless, changeless nature. It is possible only in claiming one, no? In claiming that Swarupam being Brahman. The claiming my Swarupam is Brahman. To claim that I am Brahmas, Aham Brahmasmi, one needs what now? No, really the confidence, isn't it? Confidence lacks because, which means one needs karma. That's why Indra, Devas, leader of Devas, went 3 times, 4th time he came. And he, in Shravanam itself, oh my God, he could shift his eye very clearly. He could see how we are all able to shift our, you know, the truth of the wave, you know, being not the name and form wave, but the water. How you shift cognitively. The cognitive shift he happened for Indra in the very Shravanam itself. He need not wait for mananam. He need not, you know, he does not require any time for nididhyasanam also. Because he didn't understand anything at all, he was vague, he came back again and again. It's a good thing, isn't it? But what happens? Something wrong understanding happens. you think you understood. I did not understand anything at all. If you know, you can come back. If you think I have understood, and your understanding is wrong understanding, will you come back? And this man went back, who? Virochana. Virochana is a asura, lord of asura, isn't it? He went back, thinking he has understood. And what about understanding? I am the body. I am the body that he was, before already he had that notion, and he confirmed his notion. It is called, some people may see confirmation of what they already understood. They don't want to see whether the understanding is correct or not. Not the correct. There's no willingness to learn what is correct. They only want confirmation for what they've understood as correct. Isn't it? Some people come like this. They come and they say, this is what I think. I had to confirm. Yes, you are right. This is what Virochana. So what happened? He went back with the wrong understanding, confirming that his understanding was correct. And he taught all the asuras, Dehatma Vada. I am the body. That knowledge he gave to all the asuras. So with that knowledge, what can asuras do? They continue to be asuras. They continue to be worst asuras. Before they were worst asuras, and they become the worst asuras. With the understanding that I am the body. You know what I'm saying? So he gives two examples, beautiful examples. So Indra stands for apratipattihi, non-comprehension, non-understanding. Very good. And Virochana stands for viparita pratipattihi. We do not want apratipattihi, we do not want viparita pratipattihi at all. We want proper pratipattihi. We want only pratipattihi. Pratipattihi means understanding, comprehension of the fact. We are not interested in apratipattihi, non-understanding. We do not want viparita pratipattihi at all. Is it clear? Etaihi hi samskrutasya sattva shuddhi dvara tattva jnana utpattihi drishta drishtahi amrudita kalmashasya amrudita kalmashasya ukte api brahmani apratipattihi viparita pratipattihi cha yatha indra virochana prabhrutinam tasmat iha va atiteshuva bahushu janmantareshu tapa adibihi krita sattva shuddhehe krita sattva shuddhehe jnanam samutpadyate yathashrutam. Therefore, tasmat, therefore, ihava atiteshuva bahushu janmantareshu. Either in this life, iha means in this life, or in previous, already, you know, gone through previous lives, previously gone through lives, janman, in other lives, janmantareshu. Tapa adibihi, all these disciplines such as tapaha, etc., tapaha, karma, no? All these things, all these disciplines, only going through all these disciplines, practicing these disciplines. Krita sattva shuddhehe, only for the one who has got, only for the refined minded, only who has attained the mental purity. He says mental purity takes very long. Shankara says, for mental purity, how long it takes? Only mental purity, either the whole life must have lived a clean, disciplined life, going through this karma, tapaha, etc., or not only in this life, even in previous lives also, atiteshu, bahushu, janmantareshu, in previous lives also, one must have gone through, you know, these disciplines, and that is only way, either going through these disciplines, living this life, disciplines with the Shraddha in previous lives, or at least in this life alone, one becomes mentally pure, qualified. Krita sattva shuddhihi. Krita sattva shuddhihi means the one who has attained mental purity is called krita sattva shuddhihi. For such a krita sattva shuddhehe, for the one who has attained mental purity, mentally prepared, one has become adhikari for him. Jnanam samutpadyate, knowledge rises yathashrutam. The knowledge rises as revealed in the Shastram, as communicated by the teacher. Okay? So the cognitive shift takes place. Isn't it? Cognitive shift takes place. So akhandakara vritti jnanam utpadyate. Akhandakara vritti jnanam. Means what? That happens. Okay? That is, that knowledge rises means where one can claim one's nature, swarupam, being already Brahman, where one can claim one, thereby one can claim one's swarupam, being already free. I know I am free, but I still have problems. Means what? You have not. What do you know you are free? Then it is not a, it is a statement, isn't it? Jnanam utpadyate. And here we have to stop. What is this akhandakara vritti jnanam? And what is, suppose aham brahmasmi, you can say. Here he, suppose you say, Shastram says tattvamasi. So you also understand aham brahmasmi. Okay, aham brahmasmi. Without having understood the mahavakya artha. Aham brahmasmi is a mahavakyam, isn't it? So aham brahmasmi, if the mahavakyam is meant for understanding, what is the literal meaning of the word aham? What is the literal meaning of the word Brahma? Big. Aham, I means as an individual. Big means, Brahma means big. Aham brahmasmi means I the individual am big. That is the meaning of what? No. It is not the literal meaning of the mahavakyam. A mahavakyam needs to be understood. Isn't it? So, which means you see the implied meaning of the aham in it. So, bhagatyaga lakshana means seeing the implied meaning of aham and understand implied meaning, you know, actually the nature, meaning of the word Brahma. The word Brahman also, there's an implied meaning. Literally, it means big. Implied meaning of the Brahman is what? Not timeless, timelessly, spatially, with the spatial limitations, time limitation, object limitation, that which is limitlessly there. That which is the nature of limitlessness is Brahman. Isn't it? Therefore, seeing the implied meaning of the word Brahman and seeing the implied meaning of the word aham and thereby seeing the implied meaning of Brahman and aham being identical is what understanding the meaning of Mahavakyam. Understanding the message conveyed by the Mahavakyam. Understand the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. And what I understand the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam means that what now you really then this ascertained understanding of the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam means claiming the truth as being one's own self, which is claiming one's freedom, which is being already there, which is already there, isn't it? But instead of understand the meaning of Mahavakyam, understanding the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam, you are simply prattle that, repeat that sentence, Aham Brahmasmi. Not that I don't repeat it orally, but mentally I repeat it. Which means I meditate upon the Mahavakyam. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. A, you are not supposed to meditate, you are not asked to meditate upon the Mahavakyam Aham Brahmasmi. You are expected to, you are supposed to understand the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam through the proper unfoldment of the Mahavakyam, from the unfoldment of the teacher, unfoldment of Mahavakyam by the teacher, isn't it? That is what is you're supposed to, not that meditation. Meditate upon Mahavakyam, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. What are you focusing attention on? Aham Brahmasmi, Mahavakyam. That is called, so meditating up, that's only what now, that repeating the Mahavakyam mentally is only Upasanam. It's called what? Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, that repetition of Mahavakyam is only a Upasanam. It will not remove the ignorance. It will not reveal. So meditation upon the Mahavakyam will not reveal the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. Meditation upon Mahavakyam will not remove the ignorance. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam will not remove your ignorance. Saguna Brahma Upasanam is a meditation. Why it's called meditation? Because you are meditating upon the Mahavakyam which reveals a fact. You are not meditating upon the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. You are meditating upon the Mahavakyam which reveals the fact. Big difference, isn't it? So, meditating upon the Mahavakyam is Upasanam. Meditating upon the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam is Nididhyasanam. Contemplation. Get it? So, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam only, it's also meditation only. It is not Nididhyasanam, contemplation. So, meditation will result in what? If you practice Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. I meditate all the time, I meditate upon this sentence, Mahavakyam. Fantastic. At least it will prepare your mind. Aham Brahmasmi meditation will prepare you, contribute for mental purity and steadiness. It will not bless you with the jnanam. That later on, after being prepared mentally through upasanam, then you can do what now? Then still you, the communication is, you are dependent on communication. Still the teaching, you are dependent on teaching. Then when the teacher reveals the meaning of, communicates, unfolds the meaning of the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam through the, the implied meanings, revealing the identity between the implied meaning of Tvam and Brahma, Tat, Arahaman Brahma, then what happens? The knowledge happens. It is the knowledge which is freedom. This knowledge itself is freedom. Is it clear? So what he wants to say? Suppose instead of meditating upon something else, you take Mahavakyam as an object of meditation, that's all. Whether you say Om Namah Shivaya, or you can take Om Namah Shivaya mantra, or a plant, or a farm, or Ramakrishna names, or Aham Brahmasmi, Mahavakyam. Any Mahavakyam, isn't it? You meditate upon that. Means it's only Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. It's also meditation only. It is not Nididhyasanam. It is not contemplation. But it can contribute for preparing your mind for knowledge. It will not contribute for the rising of knowledge. Jnana Utpatyartham, it will not be useful. Is it? It is useful for Jnana Arhatartham. It is useful for preparation required for Jnana in terms of mental purity and mental steadiness. Is it clear? So, here this Akhanda Akara Vritti Jnanam means you see the Brahman. What is Brahman? Akhandam Vastu. Akhandam Vastu means what now? Indivisible, partless whole, a limitless reality. Akhandam. Khanda means limited, divisible, divided. Akhanda means indivisible, partless whole, which means what now? Limitless. Reality. Vastu of limit, of the nature of limitlessness. So limitless reality is called, limitless reality is Brahma, isn't it? So seeing that understanding the fact how the reality is limitless. So you're understanding the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. This is very important. Understanding the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. I repeat the sentence again. Understanding the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness is understanding akhanda vastu. Understanding the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness is understanding the limitless reality, akhandam vastu. And you understand that vastu, how can you understand, next step, how can you understand the vastu, no, the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness? You understand the nature of reality in terms of its, understand reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness as the very self. So how do you arrive at the self first of all? Shifting the I sense, by negating the body, mind, sense complex as non-self, no, as object of knowledge, shifting the I sense from body, negated body, mind, sense complex, and thereby arriving at pure consciousness and dissolving the I sense in that consciousness as what? I am ID self, ID Atma, am consciousness. First arriving at that fact. First step, isn't it? So negating the body, mind, and complex, an object as object of knowledge of the self, thereby shifting the I sense from body mind sense complex and thereby resolving the I sense in consciousness and thereby discovering the fact that I, the self, am consciousness. And later, thereby analyzing the nature of consciousness. Being, analyzing the nature of consciousness and arriving at the, arriving at the fact of consciousness being the reality. You arrive at it in terms of its nature, of limitlessness. Consciousness is the reality. Consciousness is, the Brahman is nothing but consciousness. How do you say that? In terms of its nature, you arrive at it. What is the nature? Timelessness. The limitlessness in terms of time, space and object. Consciousness is of the nature of limitlessness. Limitlessness in terms of time, space and object. See, you stumble, you arrive at consciousness. But it is the consciousness is the reality. There is no reality other than consciousness. How do you arrive at it? How do you arrive at it? In terms of its nature. What is its nature? Limitlessness. Limitlessness in terms of time, space and object. Is there a time limitation for consciousness? No. Are you clear? Are you sure or not? Now only your mind, where is your mind now? At present, as I'm teaching. You see, consciousness, you're analyzing the nature of consciousness. There is no time for consciousness, isn't it? The time is a factor which exists in awareness and consciousness. But consciousness is free from time limitation. You have to see this being a fact. Unarvirkku kalavarai irukkengla. Kalam irupadum illadum unarvil velangudu. In consciousness, you're aware, you're aware of this, the awareness of time. Therefore, we can say the consciousness is free from time limitation. This is the first understanding. It is understanding. How can you understand the fact of consciousness being consciousness, the nature of consciousness being timelessness, if you do not understand what consciousness is? Because consciousness is not explicable. Consciousness is not an object, not perceptible, not conceivable. That is why it is only method. You arrive at it, isn't it? You are negating logically the body mind complex as objects, and you arrive at the subject, and you see resolve the subject I, the knower, in awareness, consciousness. Then you analyze the nature of the consciousness. You understand the conscious, you arrive at the conscious, the fact of consciousness being the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Yes, time-wise limitless. And space, because space also is what now? Has existence in awareness. Awareness is not in space. Space is in awareness. Which is the location? What is located in what? Is space in awareness or is awareness in space? can say awareness is in space, space is in awareness also. But it's like akarmani, isn't it? Because there can't be space without the awareness. Therefore, awareness is in space. But awareness does not exist outside of, space does not exist outside of awareness. Because space is in awareness, isn't it? You have to say it both ways. Is it clear? Therefore, awareness, consciousness is free from spatial limitation. And consciousness is free from object limitation also. Why? Because any existence of every object presupposes the knowledge of an object. And the knowledge, no knowledge is not outside of awareness or consciousness. There's no object outside of, no, there's no such thing called existence, object without existence. So exist, object is, object means presupposes existence. Existence presupposes knowledge. And knowledge is located, again, where is it, isn't it? What is located in what? Awareness is not located in knowledge, but there is no knowledge outside of awareness. Therefore, we say what now? Consciousness is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. It is called understanding, limitlessness as the nature. Okay? So you understand the, arrive at the fact of consciousness or awareness being the reality in terms of its nature. Brahman. Reality is what? Limit is a term implying the reality. It implies the reality in terms of its nature. So you arrived at the meaning of the arrived at what is implied by the word Brahman. It's called arriving at the vastu implied by the word Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Then you can say what now? Idi Atma, am limitless reality, Brahman. Aham Brahma Asmi. Okay, when the mind is only in that knowledge, that this is repeatedly, the very class is enough for you to claim this. But it's not enough means, again, Shravanam, 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 like Indra, fourth time Shravanam, first Shravanam is over, second Shravanam is over, third Shravanam is over, fourth time also, what now? Now what I'm saying, this is called Akanda Akara Vritti Jnanam. When this knowledge takes place, this knowledge of the Atma, the substance of substantive I, the consciousness being the limitless reality Brahman, also takes place in what form? In the thought form. Now there is a vritti, isn't it? There is a vritti. There is a vritti jnanam. There is knowledge which has risen in your mind. The knowledge which has risen in your mind, that's also what now? Any other knowledge. It's a vritti jnanam. But this vritti jnanam, for which what is the subject matter of the knowledge? What is the object of knowledge? Brahman. Which Brahman? Limitless reality. What is limitless reality? The awareness. Consciousness. And what is consciousness? The truth of I. If this understanding is there, there is akhanda akara vritti jnanam. There is knowledge of limitless reality being consciousness, which implies the understanding, knowledge of the fact of self being consciousness, and the self, the consciousness being the limitless reality, Brahman. Purinjutha, very subtle lesson. It may be repetition for you, but did you see the difference? What is said? This is akhanda akara vritti jnanam. This is what is called akhanda akara vritti jnanam. And for this jnanam, now jnanam is there, but still confidently can you claim this? I am free. I am a sadhaka. Notion is not there. I am a seeker of moksha is not there. Moksha is something sought by me is not there. Then what is there? Mokshaha is my swarupam. Aham, I am free. Freedom is my nature. Aham Brahma Asmi. For this knowledge to rise, Nididhyasanam is required, not Aham Brahmasmi meditation. But meditation will help you to become mentally purified and ready. For this knowledge, what you need is tapaha. I'm going back now. Tapaha, dhamaha, karma, vedaha, vedangani, all this are required for, as we know, upaya, as sadhanani, as means of preparation. Actually, this doesn't want to go like that, because he emphasizes why, because he talks about Brahmani ukte api. In spite of communicating Brahman another than when they were learning, Brahma, Lord Brahma was the teacher, not one mouth, four heads. Lord Brahma was the teacher and Indra was the student. And how should have been the communication? The foremost jnani, Brahma, Lord Brahma, and he was Karta, he was not revealer of none, and Lord himself was the teacher. Which means, just to say that, such a great teacher, and the Lord of Deva, he has got a status of being the Lord of Devas, means some buddhi, he was someone to be intelligent, isn't it? To have high position also, hold a position. Such a person who holds the position means he is an intelligent person, intelligent student and teaching. Still, he was intelligent, but he was not prepared. Which means, he was not pure enough mentally. He was not steady enough mentally. That is why he has to go back. But what Shankara wants to say is, at least Indra had apratipatti. So, as he was going back, he could understand, I did not understand anything. Understanding that I did not understand anything is the better thing than going back thinking I have understood. So, he came back because he knew he did not understand. This Virochana did not come back because he did not know, he has not understood, he did not know, he has understood wrongly. So he never came back, stayed with the wrong knowledge and contributed for all the demonic deeds of demons with wrong knowledge, serving, what now, as a wrong teacher. Therefore, Indra came back, and fourth time, and every time he came back, and when he did not understand, and He understood, but he could not claim, isn't it? He did not have the confidence to claim. First time itself, he must have had knowledge, isn't it? Doesn't matter. Shravanam, he could have gone back and continued with Mananam and all that, but still, he had to, which means he was not, he did not have the confidence to claim the fact he has understood. So understanding the fact itself, it does not make one a wise person. Understanding the fact implies what now? Should result in claiming in this context. In the context of self-knowledge, understanding the self should be followed by what? Claiming the fact revealed by the fact, isn't it? Claiming the fact revealed by the fact. That Aham Brahmasmi, with confidence. That is why he sent him back 32 years, do karma. Okay, come on, go back and do all your duties and come back. 3 times. 4th time, he need not wait for Mananam. In Shravanam itself, he had the knowledge. Okay, for this purpose alone, we have this tapaha, dhammaha, karma, tapaha, dharmaha, karma, shamaha, which are the 4 legs on which alone Brahma Vidya stands. Isn't it? So we'll see the rest next class. The 2 interpretations. Something, it really is good, isn't it? Arriving at consciousness is one thing. That consciousness being the reality is another thing. There's nothing other than consciousness is the reality, isn't it? That how do you arrive at? Reality is nature. So it says that Brahman, the word only implies big. What is implied by the word Brahman is reality. And reality is nothing but consciousness. That you arrive at how? In terms of its nature. How can you analyze the nature of something if you haven't even understood what it is? It is not simply uttering the word consciousness, isn't it? It's not the utterance of the term. You have to arrive at awareness. And then you arrive at it, but still you arrived at it, but still it's inexplicable. Inconceivable. It's unobjectifiable. How awareness is not an object of knowledge. That becomes clear only when you arrive at awareness. How awareness is not something conceivable, inconceivable, an object of thought, that also you understand only when you arrive at consciousness. Initially you understand it, then you arrive at it, isn't it? Then you also see what? Yes, consciousness is not even describable, not any word description, because it is not an object at all, first of all. And you see how the consciousness is not even subject also. That is why all the previous ones you have to remember here. It is not even the subject then. Aviditata, viditata, aviditata, adi. Not even the subject, the knower. Then what is it? It is the truth of knower. Swarup of knower. You arrive at it. Then once you arrive at it, then you see. Then only you analyze, isn't it? Does it have time? Does it have spatial limitation? Does it have any limitation? Only these possible limitations. How it is free from all limitations when you arrive at it? Then you arrive at what? The vastu, reality, in terms of its nature. consciousness being the reality you arrive at only in terms of its nature. I always say in terms of nature, in terms of nature, I always say that. Surupattai vaitthadhan paramburulai purundhu hollavanshana. So, eppidingar there, eppidi. This is an important lesson. Then you dwell upon it and you ascertain it, then there should be, then that time comes again when you claim it, isn't it? Which means, here what you want to say, that is why what you want to say is, all these disciplines are only before jnanam. After jnanam, after claiming this fact, you have to understand now, okay, after having this vision, attaining this vision also, after having claimed with all confidence that I myself am Brahman, the limitless awareness, everything other than me is mithya, the inferior order of reality, I am ever free, okay, I am not a seeker of moksha, moksha is not sought by me, which is my swarupam, when you claim it, after that, what happens? Will there be karma or not? Even after jnanam also, there will be performance of karma. But still, that karma which continues to be there after jnanam loses its status of being karma. It becomes karma abhasaha. What is karma before jnanam? Becomes karma abhasaha after jnanam. This is what I want to say today and stop it. Karma becomes karma abhasaha. It's only appearance. Karma is only karma abhasa. It's also reflection of only the true truth. Action also becomes manifestation of Atma. Don't see action anymore. See, you don't see non-movement, unmoving things as non-movement as manifestation of Atma. The movement also you see as manifestation of Atma. Manifestation of unmoving Atma. Seeing the movements, seeing the actions as a manifestation of unmoving Atma is what now? Seeing the karma as karma abhasaha. Very important lesson is what? Karma after jnanam. Karma is there. What not as karma? Karma is there is karma abhasa. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om.